19 is where we arrived at. Luke 19, as we travel through the Bible together. Do you need a Bible to study with us? If you don't have one, you will, so make sure you raise your hand. We would count it a privilege to give you a Bible. Get these gentlemen's attention. They'll pass one over to you. It's yours. Yours to study and to use and to wear out if you need it. Please take it. There's no charge for it. I want you to have it. If you need a pencil also, they have writing implements for you. If you want to keep notes, we encourage you to do that. But in particular, you'll need a Bible. Now, as the Bibles are being passed out, I just want to remind you that we gather on Sunday night, 6 o'clock right here, to study the Bible together. Lord willing, we'll be going through Luke 19, the whole chapter. So come out tonight if you'd like to dig a little deeper and eat a little more fuller spiritual meal than this morning can give us. Luke 19 this morning, we'll start at verse 1. Will be our focus. Luke 19, verse 1. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste, and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Look at verse 10 again with me. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And therein we have the great mission that Jesus was sent upon. Therein we have why God came as the form of a man to walk this earth, his creation. Therein we have the reason for the Gospels and all. Therein we have the reason of why Jesus came. He came to seek and save the lost. Back in the last chapter, Luke 18, we read these words. I'm going to project them up here on the wall. And those who heard it said, who then can be saved? But he, this is Jesus, said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Who can be saved? The things that are impossible with men are possible with God. In just a moment, we're going to look at Zacchaeus, but you might look at Zacchaeus' life. Certainly those maybe in Jericho on that day would have said, man, how could a guy like Zacchaeus ever get saved? We might look at the Apostle Paul, what he was like before his conversion. You might come to the conclusion, how could someone like that ever get saved? You might look at someone like me and say, how could someone like that ever get saved? You might look in the mirror. Indeed, I encourage you to do so. Because if you're really honest with yourself, you'll come to the conclusion, how could someone like me get saved? The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. You see, we look at ourselves and we say, mission impossible. But the Lord says, nope, mission possible. More than that, you see, for Zacchaeus, for Paul, for each of us who've given our lives to Jesus, it's not just mission possible, it's now mission accomplished. I've called our time together this morning, The Difference Jesus Makes. Let's pray. Father, you who examines the heart, you who knows us better than we know ourselves, you who, because you know us, you know our condition, you who sent your Son to die for us, you came seeking to save us. Lord, I pray that you now would speak to hearts. That, Lord, through your word, by the power of your Spirit, you would speak to every heart here. That where there might be comfort needed, there would be comfort, encouragement, hope, conviction if it needs to be. Whatever needs to take place, that you'd have your way. Lord, don't let us coast. Lord, there's always that danger. It's a familiar passage of Scripture, Lord. We've heard it from Sunday school, some of us. And yet it's you explaining why you sent your Son. Explaining our great need. That there's a condition of every soul lost. But you come that we might be found. Lord, have your way in this time. By your love, by your Spirit, through your word now, speak, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just work our way through the passage and see what the Lord would have for us. Look again now at verse 1. He begins by saying that Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Remember where we are in the story now as we go through the Gospel of Luke. Jesus is heading up to Jerusalem for the last time. But he's headed towards more than just Jerusalem. He's headed towards the cross. As he goes through Jericho, after Jericho, he'll make the ascent up to Jerusalem. He'll make his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And as he does, on that Sunday, that kicks off the last week of his earthly journey. By the end of that week, he'll be on the cross. But before those events, he makes his way through Jericho. Now, a study of the map would show us that based on where Jesus had been and where he's going, namely Jerusalem, he doesn't have to go through Jericho to get there. So why this direction? Why does Luke make sure and pass point out here that Jesus is passing through Jericho? I dare say it's because there's a divine appointment in a man named Zacchaeus' future. Let's read about it. Verse 2. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Tax collectors were not popular people in that day. I'm not so sure they're popular today. But they definitely were popular in Jesus' day. Why? Because the Jews were an occupied people. The Romans had invaded the land, and now they had subjugated the Jewish people. They were ruling over them. And the tax collectors basically were, in this case, a Jew who went over to them in terms of he began to work for the invaders, for the Romans. And so the tax collectors were seen as collaborators with the enemy. Plus, tax collectors had a bad reputation. You see, tax collectors were given a levy from Rome that they had to collect so much money from their area. They made their money from anything beyond that, that they could tax the people. Now, they had the power of Rome behind them. And so they were notorious for overcharging the people. And they were known for using abusive and strong tactics. They were common in terms of getting money out of the people. And Zacchaeus was a tax collector. So he would not have been looked upon favorably by his fellow Jews and all. But not only is he a tax collector, but we read in verse 2, he's a chief tax collector. I don't know what you have to do to attain that position. I don't know what you have to do to be over the other tax collectors. But we know this much, and this really sums it up. It says, and he was rich. That tells us he probably was very active in this activity of getting from people in these means. So not a popular guy. But as we're going to see, though Zacchaeus may have been rich, he's not rich like he's going to be. You see, Zacchaeus may have been rich in money and power, but he was poor in spirit. He had a lot of what this world would call valuable, but spiritually he was a bankrupt man. Might have looked one way on the outside, perhaps dressing affluently, living in a great house, drove one of the better chariots, the latest models, but inside, bankrupt. But today, that will all change. His entire life now is going to be turned around. Jesus is about to change everything for Zacchaeus. Verse 3. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. Zacchaeus was small in stature. He was short in build. He was not a tall man. So, he can't see through the crowds. Apparently there's enough people following Jesus that he can't just get a straight view. And if you're a hated tax collector, you're probably not apt to work your way through them. You might get a lot of elbows in the ribs. So what's he going to do? We'll read about it in just a moment. But before we move on, think about this. It tells us that Zacchaeus was short in stature. Spiritually speaking, that describes all of us. What do I mean? Well, I'm going to put it up here and forgive the pun, but it's true. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. God is holy and pure, righteous. And there's no way man on his own can dwell with God. Something's got to happen to Zacchaeus. Something's got to happen to me and you. If we're going to... A lot of people think they're tall because of their bank account, because they're popular, intellectual, whatever it might be. None of that will get you into heaven. When it comes to spiritually speaking, we're all very short of stature. So what does Zacchaeus do? Verse 4. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. Men in that culture rarely ran, especially not someone to be looked up to as the chief tax collector. They don't do that. But now we see this. You can almost picture him, can't you? Here's Zacchaeus, kind of short in build, can't see through the crowd. What's he going to do? Well, he kind of hikes up his robe and takes off running. Think about it. He is letting pride get in the way. He's not going to let the crowd stop him from seeing Jesus. He's going to see Jesus on that day. What did you come to church for today? Did you come to see Jesus? Interesting. Two different men can come to church. The one man comes looking around, and all he notices is that, well, he didn't quite like that song. It was too loud. He didn't like the way those people were dressed. He didn't quite like the temperature. And that pastor, he's really got problems. And that's what he'll leave with, because he only looked around. But the one who came looking up, the one who comes to the same service, but instead he said, I'm not here to see people. I'm not here to be seen by people. I'm here to see Jesus. That one will leave having encountered God. Why did you really come today? Where are your eyes, the eyes of your heart? You see, if you sit there and just say, oh, the pastor speaks so fast, or he's not as eloquent as I would like, you can focus on those things and miss. How I pray, though, that my shortcomings won't get in the way of you hearing God. Seeing God. Where are you looking right now? Is your heart looking up? You come hungry? Blessed are those that are hungry. They'll be filled. But you gotta... He said, I'm going to see Jesus. I don't care if they think of me running along. I don't care if they think of me shimmying up the tree. Think of it. They'll be, look at Zacchaeus. He's shimmying up this tree, and now he's perched up there. Think about it. Matter of fact, I invite you, really get a feel for the scene. This really happened. Oh yes, it's a Sunday school story. Yes, but it really are events that happened. So picture yourself there. Picture the crowd coming into Jericho. Jesus had just healed a blind man right outside the city gates. The buzz is going on. Come on, you got to go see this. The crowds are growing. People are lined up. So many that he can't even get a, he can't peek through the crowd. What's he going to do? Put yourself in Zacchaeus' sandals for a moment. Zacchaeus wonders, perhaps, what am I going to do? I want to see Jesus. I know, I'll get up a tree that I can see him. So Zacchaeus runs ahead, climbs up this tree, settles in for a look. There he is now, sitting out on a limb. He's going to see if he can spot Jesus in the crowd. Now the crowd is drawing closer. The dust is getting stirred up. He can hear the voices and the shouting, and there's a commotion. I wonder where Jesus is in that crowd. He's looking. Look, I think I see him. He begins to spot him. That must be the one. He's obviously, they're all kind of around this one, and there's just something about him, and yeah, I see him. Wow, he's kind of headed this way. Well, I have picked a good tree. I think he's going to come right by the tree. Whoa, he's coming right under the tree. This is really a good spot I picked. Wait a minute, he's stopping. He's looking up at me. He now begins to speak. Verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. The eyes of Jesus and Zacchaeus meet. Zacchaeus wasn't expecting this one. But their eyes meet. How do you think Zacchaeus felt? Normally, the religious people did not look at Zacchaeus with very loving eyes. And what's he going to say? Normally, the good people did not have nice things to say to Zacchaeus. He's going to say, Zacchaeus, you dirty dog, get out of here. What's he going to say to me? For not only has Jesus stopped, and not only is he looking up at Zacchaeus, think of what he's now saying. Zacchaeus. What? How does Jesus know my name? Oh, Zacchaeus, he has always known your name. Nobody stopped Jesus on the way in the town and said, oh, by the way, there's going to be some guy on a tree. His name's Zacchaeus. You better go talk to him. You see, Zacchaeus, you climbed that tree to see Jesus. But Jesus saw you from before the foundations of this world. And you know what, Zacchaeus? Jesus knows a lot more about you than your name. He knows the compromises you've made. He knows the loneliness you felt. He knows the pain that even now you struggle with. He knows it all, Zacchaeus, better than you know yourself. He knows your real need. You see, Zacchaeus, you came to see, but Jesus came to seek. He's here for you, Zacchaeus. Notice the personal nature of all of this, because that's the only way that can be applied to you. Notice how personal is the invitation. Jesus called Zacchaeus by name. Jesus has called us by name also. So this morning, you're invited. Put your name there. Pete, Mary, Bill, I'm not picking on you if that's your name. Make haste and come down because I must dwell with you today. Put your name in here. If you've never opened your heart to Jesus, know this. He is calling you. You are the focus of the greatest manhunt there's ever been. He is after you. He is coming to you. He's calling out to you. I wonder today if you need to put your name in there. If you'd be honest enough to admit it, that you need to receive today that personal salvation and fellowship that only comes through Him. Maybe just now you're starting to understand how personal the gospel is. That it's not something you collectively partake of because you were born in America or go to church, that you're a good person. None of those things will do it. You must personally receive. It's a transaction that you have to personally interact with, encounter Jesus. You know, this whole scene reminds us, Revelation 3:20, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door of your heart, and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. Just like what he's saying here to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, get down here. I must go dine with you, stay with you. Zacchaeus was a man out on a limb, a man up a tree. If you've not received Jesus, so are you. You're out on a limb that's going to break. It won't hold you. It won't get you into heaven. It won't see you through this life. You're building on shaky foundations. Only God has the purpose of why you were made. It's found in Jesus. Good news, though. He's calling you. But remember, believer, Revelation 3:20, it's a great scripture to speak about receiving Christ as Savior, but it's spoken to the church in its context. It's spoken to believers. See, perhaps you've asked Jesus into your heart, but it's been a long time since you supped with Him, fellowshipped with Him. Do you need to come back? The call is to you also. Quit doing those things that have brought compromise into your life, that have cut you off from knowing the fellowship, the real purpose. You took the steering wheel back, and He's calling you back to Him. So it's for all of us. You see, for all of us, if we would just look up in that tree, we'll see ourselves. What happens next? Verse 6. So he, Zacchaeus, made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. We now reach an interesting point in these events. Jesus and Zacchaeus have now gone inside Zacchaeus' house. Outside, the Pharisees are murmuring. The good people, they don't understand it. You see, the self-righteous ones, they're into appearance, and they look on the outside, and they already judged Zacchaeus. He didn't measure up to their standards. But while they're murmuring, while they're looking on the outside, Jesus looks at the heart. He sees Zacchaeus' real need. And rather than it turning Jesus off, it drew Jesus to him. So the two, they're inside the house now, Jesus and Zacchaeus. What is said between the two? We don't know. We're not told what transpired. But we sure do know the result. Look at verse 8. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. What? This chief of the rascals is now giving instead of taking. He's making restitution instead of conniving on how to get more. Listen to these words he says. I give. I restore. How often, if ever, had those words ever come out of Zacchaeus' mouth before this? See, it's speaking about the difference Jesus makes in a heart. If you've truly received of Him, it gives you new priorities. You begin to be about others, not yourself. You begin to say, Lord, don't let it stop at me. Let me pass it on now. I want to give. I want to restore. I want to be part of the answer. See, something has happened to Zacchaeus here. No need to guess what it is. Look at verse 9. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because he also is a son of Abraham. Abraham, the father of faith. He's a son of faith. The key wording here, today salvation has come. That's what has happened. You see, Zacchaeus had heard. Whatever Jesus said, Zacchaeus had heard. Not just with his head, but with his heart. I dare say that some of you right now are hearing me with your head. Perhaps not all of us. Some of you right now are thinking about the ball game later or something like that. But most of you are hearing me to some degree with your ears. But I wonder how many are hearing with their heart. Oh, you're hearing with your ears, but is your heart listening? Zacchaeus heard with his heart, not just his ears. And what a difference Jesus made. Don't make the mistake and think that salvation came because he began to give. No, he began to give because salvation had come. What he was doing now was simply an outer expression of an inner work. Now he's saved. Salvation has come, Jesus said. And simply his life, Zacchaeus' life, was revealing it, was showing it. He now is supposed to be a vessel of blessing to others instead of taking for himself. You see, I dare say, if you've really received Christ, there will be a change in your life. Not that you're going to become perfect overnight. And certainly don't think that if you accept Christ, that means you have to be perfect. No, but what it means is that there begins to be a change. He begins a good work in you that one day He's going to complete. But that's a change that will begin to show. It'll be reflected. If there's been no change, if you're still all about you, getting and having, and you're still in the driver's seat, and you're still just If there's been no change in priority, you still enter into those crude jokes you used to and all those things, then I wonder, what really did receiving him mean to you? Perhaps you thought it meant that you mentally were going to agree. Or it meant that you'd start trying to be a nicer person somewhere. But see, since it wasn't the heart, there's been no real change. But I found if he has your heart, you begin to change. Again, not that you're perfect, but you have new priorities. And it's good. He starts lifting you above the junk of this world that is always unsatisfying. It begins to change you, and there begins to be peace where there wasn't before. And hope and comfort and all where there wasn't before. There will be a change. And there's been a change for Zacchaeus. His life is simply expressing that. Do you need to invite Jesus in today? Think of Zacchaeus. He had no idea that his day would end like this. You came to church, but you didn't know that your day was going to be different. But it will be if you will open your heart today. Maybe he wasn't even aware of his need, but the Lord was aware of his need. And the Lord came to him and spoke to him about his need, but also the Lord's answer for the need. Is he speaking to you like that right now? Don't worry about what others are thinking. Is he speaking to you about something? If truth be told, have you really not settled eternity? Today's the day to do it. Don't think for a minute that this event here with Jesus and Zacchaeus was simply a coincidental occurrence. Zacchaeus had a divine appointment that day with God in person. How can you say that, Pastor? Verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus wasn't just wandering around that day. He was purposely seeking the lost. He sees Zacchaeus. He goes to him and encounters him. Speaks to him. Just as I trust he's speaking to you right now. For you too have a divine appointment with God if you've not opened your heart to him. And today you're keeping that appointment. You're here. But now what will come from it? What fruit will be born from this? How sad when people think that they dodge the bullet when they walk away from Jesus. Whew. I didn't have to get up front. I didn't have to pray. I got out for making a decision. As if somehow you'll be better for it. Well, if I open my heart to Jesus, what's he going to do? He's going to give you eternal life, forgiveness of sins, give you purpose, give you meaning, begin to help you walk a path that's a place of blessing. Not, I didn't say rose garden, there's trials, but he steadies you through the storms. Just all those things that he's about. Perhaps this morning you're beginning to see that you're short. Spiritually short. You've fallen short of the glory of God, and you can't stand before God in your condition. Perhaps you're up a tree spiritually, out on a limb spiritually. It's time to get down and invite Jesus in. There was, not too many years after this, a Jewish man who was very zealous, very religious, Pharisee of the Pharisees. Thought he knew God until he encountered God. He was on a road to Damascus one day, and he encountered, thought he knew God like some of us might. He thought he knew God until he encountered God. But on that day, everything changed. There was a young man not too many years ago from our time, back in 1936. There was a young man back in North Carolina. Here's an evangelist named Mordecai Ham. The words convict the young man. He decides to walk the path that he will go on to invite many to walk. There was a young man who grew up thinking he was pretty smart. Then he learned he didn't know anything at all. He learned of his need for salvation, and he goes on to say yes to Jesus while serving at a remote radar site in the middle of Alaska. Then his journey allows him to stand before you this morning and share God's good news. What mercy. What grace. And what about that young lady? Grew up in the church. Grew up going to Sunday school. Had the Word of God in her head. Greatly in her head. But then God got hold of her, and all that head knowledge sunk into her heart. And oh, how she loved God's Word, God's people, and she loves to teach God's Word and see them growing in God's Word. Who are the people I mentioned? Of course, the first one is Paul, formerly Saul, but God got hold of him and made him Paul the Apostle. Who's the second one? Billy Graham. The third was myself. And lastly, that was Kathy, head in her head. Then she encountered God. If you know her, you know what that means. What happened to Zacchaeus, Paul, Billy Graham, all of those people I just mentioned? What happened? Jesus did it. Not money. Zacchaeus already was rich. Not a belief system. Oh, I had lots of belief systems. I could talk that philosophy stuff with you all day. I was very religious in that regard, but I didn't know Jesus. And he got hold of me. Amen. And head knowledge. God is good. God is merciful. It's not just head knowledge, as Kathy had. It's heart. It's a heart relationship. And only you know if he has your heart. You know if there's still a struggle, a doubt. If I ask you today, are you sure that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? What would you, if I could call on you, I'm not going to embarrass you, but if I did, and I say, stand up, why should God let you in? You know what I would be, you know what? I talk to a number of people, and you know what I hear them say sometimes? And I wonder if you wouldn't have to say that. Be honest right now, if you said, okay, here's what I'd say if you called on me. A lot of people would say, well, because basically I'm a good person. Most people say that. Because my good outweighs the bad. And so they say I'm a good person, or again, they start trotting out, well, I was raised in a Christian home, I go to church, and all this evidence that I'm basically a good person. That has nothing to do with it. I'm glad you're a good person, but really, you're not. None of us are. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We need a Savior. And I'm not just saying that about you, it's about all of us. But good news, he's come to seek and save the lost. Look how Zacchaeus began. Verse 2 says there was a man named Zacchaeus, chief tax collector. He's rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. He began the day not knowing about the Lord, just kind of inquiring, taking it in. I think I'll check out who this is. Now look how he ends here in verse 9. Today salvation has come to this house. Why? What happened? Because of the truth of verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Are you lost? Would you be willing to admit your lost spiritual condition? You see, without intervention, we're hellbound. It'll mean an eternity separate from God, because you and I can't dwell with God without something being done for us. We need His righteousness put to our account. We need our sins forgiven. And Jesus is the only one who can do it. Jesus is seeking you right now. You see, he seeks in Jericho. He sought that young man in North Carolina. He sought this young man in Alaska. I was young then. Sought Kathy. He seeks you right here in El Cajon. Well, what will you do about it? John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now here it is. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Just like we just read in verse 10, the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. What brought God to this earth? Lost souls. Let me say it differently. What brought God to this earth? Your lost soul. Now, will you hear it as such? The ball's in your court. He can do no more than to come, call, plead, set it clearly before you. It's up to you. Have you yet to surrender to Jesus? Are you lost? Would you be saved? We'll give you the opportunity to do so right now. I'm going to invite the worship team up. While the worship team comes up, I want you to think about this. Believers, I want you to be praying. On what basis will you get into heaven? Be honest right now. This is your day of change. You have a divine appointment with God. Do you recognize you need to be saved? That you're lost and need to be found? Let's pray. Father, you are the one who searches all our heart. And you know each person here, just like you knew Zacchaeus, you know us. You know the condition of our heart. You know those who have yet to surrender to you. Lord, by your mercy and your grace, speak now, we pray. Speak to that heart that's struggling, Lord. Speak to that one that's not sure. Show them that you come to save. Not that they would get their lives together first. Not that they would be good enough. Nothing like that, Lord. Would you show them that it's about just saying, here I am a sinner, forgive me. It's about coming to you and letting you do what only you can do. Lord, if there's anybody doubting, struggling, they flat out know they're lost, need to be saved, I pray you'll draw them even now. In Jesus' name. We're going to invite you now, while we sing this song, come up and let us lead you in a prayer to ask Jesus into your heart. I know it's hard. The very fact there's a battle should tell you something. There's an enemy of your soul. He doesn't want you up here. But the Lord, He's calling you. You sense it. He's tugging. Respond to His tug. Don't worry about others will think. You know what? Others will rejoice. And in heaven, the angels will have a party. But it's hard getting up. I know that. But it's the best thing you ever do. Now, it's not that walking a piece of carpet's going to get you into heaven. But if walking it represents an invitation for Jesus to come into your heart. If it represents, Lord, here I am a sinner, forgive me. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. All I know, God, is I need you. That's all He's looking for. If you mean it, He'll meet you right there. Come up during this song.